Welcome everyone to the E-commerce Made Simple podcast. I'm Jérôme de Guigny, your host. And today we're going to talk about advertising again, which is one of the very important parts of how to be successful on Amazon. And with Max Hoffmann from Bidix, which is a company which was is based originally from Germany, but now they're expanding everywhere. And there's one of those software companies which is offering a very good solution. And he will focus, or we're focusing today on DSP and the impact on total sales. So it will be interesting because you have in Amazon advertising, PPC and DSP. So one is based on keywords and the other one is based on audiences, like targeting specific people. He will explain in details in a few seconds. And the idea here is to understand, okay, how can a tool help you? How do you want to organize your campaigns between PPC and DSP and share the budget you have?
Can I ask a really stupid question, which I think is a stupid question? And if it is really, really, really stupid, I'll just edit this out and that'll be fine. What does Amazon make more money from? Is it the actual goods that they sell, or is it from selling advertising on the site?
So it's completely from advertising, because they lose money from selling. So that's a very simple question. And actually that Jeff Bezos very early started the Amazon Cloud Business, AWS, the web services part. And actually they were making money from this, and now it's huge. And I think they were expecting this year or last year, or next year, maybe from the advertising part to make even more money than the cloud business, which was super profitable. So it's to show that it will be the driving force for Amazon in the coming years.
Because in Britain, at least, we see adverts for AWS on television now, as opposed to seeing adverts for Amazon. You might see actual adverts for Amazon for Prime Day, or maybe a few things for Prime Video, say if the Premier League is going to be on there. But we see a lot of advertising for actual AWS and the businesses that AWS helps, rather than the actual website, which for me, I'd never sort of put two and two together really with that.
Yeah, because it's two different companies in a sense. It goes into one pocket in the end, but it's two different companies. And the way Amazon works is that things are very separated. But it's clearly, you can see that in the UK, Amazon is so big, they don't need to do too much advertising. In other countries, like in France, Amazon is less big, or they are more competitors. So they do much more advertising. So they're sort of being smart on what they're doing. AWS, I know less this market, so maybe they believe they can win some market share, but that's the way Amazon is today. The fact is that for brands today, and why we're talking with Max, is that Amazon is becoming the most efficient in terms of return on ad sales based on products you want to sell. Like on Google, you will build your brand awareness, but it's very difficult to know if you're getting sales right directly. You can if your website is working well. But with Amazon, you're 100% sure that you can drive advertising to generate sales. And that's what makes it very appealing for most people. And that's why a lot of people are shifting partially their budget from Facebook, Google to Amazon.
Happy days. Well, shall we listen to you and Max then?
Exactly. So enjoy the show. So welcome, everyone. I'm really happy to welcome you. Happy New Year to everyone. Happy New Year 2022. This is the first webinar of the year. So thanks for coming, Max, and welcome. So as you know, the first question is to get to know about you on a funny way is like, can you tell us a fun fact about yourself?
Yeah, sure. So I started our company with my girlfriend. And while many people think that's a horrible idea, for us, it went pretty well. And just recently this year, we got married. So I'm looking forward to it, to build the company further and across the globe.
Wow. So you're bringing some emotions to the beginning of this year. So thank you, Max, and congratulations. So how many people is there in the Bidix family today, in your family?
In our family, like We have 35 children, I have to admit. Yeah.
So that's growing efficiency.
Yeah.
Well done. So thank you very much. And maybe you can talk to us a bit about Bidix and about yourself before we dive into DSP.
Sure. So it was back in 2015 when I started selling on Amazon. Back then, I looked for a way to finance my semester abroad. I went to China, to Shanghai. And one friend of mine was starting an FBA business, and that worked pretty well. And so he explained to me everything, how it works and so on. And soon we also started to selling products online on the Amazon Marketplace. The first one
was the products?
It was like cable ties. It was like reusable cable ties. And we looked up products from the US market, which worked pretty well over there. And we thought, well, they do not exist over here in the German market. They have to be a bestseller immediately. But the problem was that nobody was looking for them. And so if you do not get any impression, if you do not get any clicks, then it's pretty painful. And then my brother got his first child at that time, and he was looking for safety equipment, for baby safety equipment. And then I thought, baby safety equipment, that's probably a better branch. We have like many babies over here, over there. Look for innovative products. And then we found like socket cover, cabinet locks, and so on. And that worked pretty well. And that was also then a time where we had to focus on our advertising campaigns and optimizing these. And I did that at the time, and it was like all manual. And I agonized myself to do it because like it's a pretty damn boring job, but it's very important that you have to do it. And we thought there must be a better way. There must be a way like to automate it, like it's possible for Google, for Facebook, and so on. And we looked around, but at that time there was no software. It was still too early. And we asked around other sellers how they solved the problem, how they optimized automatically, and they did not. And then with my co-founder Nadine, who studied business information systems and who knows how to code, we wrote like the first lines of code that changed the life for like more than 2,000 sellers and advertisers that we serve now with our team.
Great. Amazing. So that's actually a really nice story. So now there is a bit more tools in the market, but Bidix is one of the very important tools and very interesting. So today Bidix is working both on search and DSP, obviously, but today the topic of today is really on the DSP side. Maybe to get started, could you have a short definition for you of what is DSP and what's the difference with search advertising?
So DSP stands for demand side platform. And what allows you to do with that is to target shoppers on and off Amazon. We have now the Amazon DSP. There are a couple of other DSPs out there. You can also use different ones. But the most important thing with Amazon's DSP is that you can tap into Amazon audiences. So you can directly identify which people future product, which people clicked on your product, which people purchased your product, and also how are the audience from your competitors, how are similar audiences, and so on. And that makes it really powerful as soon as you have like PPC set up on Amazon to expand and to further grow your company.
And so if we go to Simon Sinek and, you know, start with why would a company use DSP? What's the main reason why they would use DSP and not, you know, search is already working well. So why would I go into DSP, for example?
So for most of our clients, it's incremental sales. So they realize that with the current efforts that they're having in organic and PPC reach, they are on the limits. And now they're trying to find a way to efficiently get new customers to buy their products. That is probably the most important to further grow the company. But also many of our customers are using it strategically to, on the one side, protect themselves from competitors, and on the other side, to attack competitors.
A bit like when you're doing on search, like on sponsored campaigns, when you're bidding on your own brand keywords, right? That's
exactly.
You can protect yourself this way. Okay, that makes sense. Do you could you share some numbers or an example of, you know, how much can a brand expect to expand? And the topic of today is impact on total sales. What kind of numbers are we talking about? Is it, you know, you're increasing 2% or 50%? What's the kind of range, or what can you expect? Is there like things you can give? I know it's a very difficult question, but
it's a difficult question because it totally depends, like, on the different companies and on the different strategies that the companies have. But what we see in average is like a sales uplift of 20%. That is not doubling sales, but it's like a solid 20% increase in sales with like almost the same efficiency which you get from sponsored ads on the Amazon platform itself.
Okay. And like, does it make a difference if you're a big brand or if you're a small brand? Like if you're L'Oreal, for example, let's say, or, you know, very well-known brand, or if you're, you know, your own little brand I don't remember the products you said, but whatever, you know, a small brand you've launched, does that make a difference? Is there a big difference there?
From our point of view, it's more important for the smaller ones. Because like for the bigger ones, they already have a known brand. They advertise the brand with TV, on magazines, newspapers, etc. So they already have a tremendous organic reach on the one side, and on the other side, a really big paid reach. What we think is that these big brands still do not really recognize how much value they can get from the Amazon DSP. And they are not really stepping into that inventory yet. And that's a really big chance for all the small and medium-sized businesses to use that Amazon DSP and get information about impression costs, about which audience works the best, and to get most of their budgets that they have, and which are mostly limited, or at least limited to a certain efficiency that they like to achieve.
Okay. And like, let's say I'm a smaller brand. Is there a limit under which, like in terms of turnover, under which, like, what's the minimum you need to make in terms of sales to make it sensible, let's say, or affordable to do DSP? What would be your recommendation?
Well, we do not really look at how much revenue a company makes and decide on that. If it's worth it to use the Amazon DSP. We mostly refer to the budget that is already used for PPC, because when focusing on the revenue, then you have companies who are selling, for instance, TVs, and one TV costs perhaps 1,000 euros, but they'll have only like 20 euros margin, something like that. And so they make a lot of revenue, but like they only have little budget left that they could spend on other ways. So we always look at how much is a company currently spending on PPC already, and what's the margin, and do they still have a margin buffer, I'd say. So can they increase marketing spendings at least for a certain percentage without losing money on generating new sales? And from our perspective, it starts like from 10 to 15,000 euros ad spend per month, and then you can focus on Amazon DSP.
Okay, so like people who are not even spending 10,000 on search PPC advertising, they would probably need to stay on PPC first, go to up to 10 to 15, and then if they want to get to the next level, that's where they can start to look at DSP. Did I understand that correctly?
Yeah. It depends. Like mostly then if you are spending 10 to 15K, you start with DSP, you probably only have a few products. You won't do that with 1,000 products and only spending like 10K.
Of course.
But if you have like a smaller portfolio, then it could make sense already to start with that. And that's also when you got two options to use the Amazon DSP. The first one is Amazon Managed Service. And for that one, you have to have at least 10,000 euros monthly budget for Amazon DSP. So this would be like the same that you currently spend for search. Then you've got the Amazon Enterprise Self-Service, where you get your own entity, and you got the partner service where agencies manage the DSP campaigns. And from our opinion, that is like the best option a customer can shoot for, because they get like a much more tailored approach and optimization. And the Amazon managed service is like they have many, many clients. So you probably fall out of them if you're not spending a million or more. And the self-service, it's really complicated because the system does what you tell it to do. And if you say spend 10,000 within the next hour, it does that for you, no problem. So it's difficult.
That's amazing. So indeed, like if you want to go directly to Amazon, you need to have at least 10K per month. If you go through an agency, you can spend less. And talking about budget, like because you're using a software, obviously, and so you have a lot of data. Have you seen like a link between how much is spent and the efficiency? My point is, we've seen that some on DSP, if when you're spending not enough, sometimes you're not reaching a sizable amount of, like of the audience to make an impact. Do you have any data on that? Because this is like we've seen that, but like maybe you have more data to explain.
Yeah, absolutely. So when you're talking about efficiency, then what works for our clients the best is classic remarketing campaigns. So target audiences who viewed your product, you clicked on that but did not buy, and loyalty campaigns. For instance, if you have a product that is used within half a year, then target that audience like after five months again. So these two campaign types basically have like the highest efficiency. And it depends on how much you generally sell, how big these audiences are. And as a seller or a vendor is becoming bigger, then also these audiences are becoming bigger and you can spend more with a high efficiency. But if you don't have generally like a lot of sales, then you are not able to spend that much money and keep the same efficiency.
Is there a golden rule in terms of percentage of total sales? Or it's really a case by case depending on the product or on the brand? What I mean is like saying that, okay, you need to at least be 1, 2, 3, 5, 10% of your sales into DSP for it to be meaningful, or it's difficult to define it in that way?
Well, I don't think that you have to define it that way. That also like depends on an individual seller or vendor and their targets. Basically what we see from many sellers, like vendors mostly are budget driven. They are being told you've got this and that budget for this month or this quarter, and then spend it as efficient as possible. So then the budget is the limit. But for most of the sellers that we are serving, they tell us like they have, for instance, a target ACoS of 25%, which is like a ROAS of 4. And then they tell us, okay, please try to spend as much as possible while keeping that ROAS limitation. And that's it, what we are doing. And sometimes you're spending a couple of hundred thousands and sometimes you're only spending a couple of $100. So that totally depends, yeah.
Okay, and one question, you talked about ACoS, so that's advertising cost of sales. So basically, we look at that a lot on PPC, but we look also on true ACoS, so like the advertising cost on all the sales. Does that make sense to look also to like your advertising sales on DSP and search compared to the total sales, like to have a true ACoS taking PPC and DSP? Would you recommend doing that?
Yeah, absolutely. And one very important factor over here is that you have to set your merchant token within the DSP console, so Amazon is able to make correct attribution. If you do not set your Amazon merchant token within the DSP console, then it might happen that some buyer is clicking on a PPC ad and is clicking on a DSP ad, and then both ads get that sale, and then you think you have twice the sales, but actually you don't. And then when you have set up that one, Amazon makes sure that only the last one, which had an interaction, is getting that purchase. And of course it makes totally sense to not only combine sponsored products, sponsored brands, and sponsored display, but also including the DSP on the one side, the cost, and on the other side, the sales that are generated with that. And then you can get an overall view how also DSP is impacting your total business.
Okay, that I think that makes total sense. One question, when we talk about attribution, so attribution is when you're in the world of Amazon, is Amazon will let you know where the sale came from. So did it come from the search advertising with the keywords, or did it come from the DSP advertising, or did it come from another campaign? If you've set up the attribution tool now. Internally, our team has some doubts sometimes about the attribution, because Amazon says that it's deduplicating the DSP audiences and like the attribution from DSP and PPC. Basically, like DSP is showing you a banner compared to an audience. So for example, you, Max, see that banner and then you look for a keyword and then you buy that product. So the attribution will normally give it to the banner, to the PPC campaign, and not to the DSP. However, some people in our team are a bit doubtful of that. What's your experience of that? Do you have some insights, or what do you think?
Yeah.
Is that because Amazon claims it's really deduplicating and that it's all square and fine?
What Amazon says and what Amazon does is like is it two pairs of a different shit. Yeah. So from our perspective, PPC is click based. That is much stronger than with the DSP, where you have like click based but also view based. So the DSP counts a few if there's like more than half or more than a second shown, and then it says like, okay, that buyer has like, you can set it up to like you want to have 75% or whatsoever, but that is of course much weaker. I mean, you get another touch point. That's why billboard advertisements is working, and why also like views and impressions are working. And even if it's not like recognized immediately, it's like recognized somehow by your brain, and probably at least if you've seen that ad like for 50 times, then somehow you are looking for that, and so it does influence you. What from our perspective is very important to see also how good that attribution is working. Again, how much incremental sales am I getting with the DSP? If I average like 100k per week over the last 4 weeks with the DSP and without the DSP, then DSP doesn't make any impact. But if I did like 100k per week and then suddenly I do 110 or 115, then I see, okay, I'm spending that amount on the DSP. Probably DSP tells me I'm not like 10 more. Amazon DSP tells me I'm 12 more or something like that. So probably you have a little bit of an attribution gap. But if you look at the total sales and how that are influenced by your DSP, then you can really recognize if it's working for you or if it's not.
Okay, makes sense. And talking about attribution, like in the beta attribution tool of Amazon, you can set up sources from, you know, Facebook campaigns, Google campaigns. Like we've been testing that and seeing sometimes that like it doesn't attribute much, whereas we've seen we can see that there's an impact of sales, but we don't, like it doesn't trace back. Do you have experience, or is the tool using linked with attribution in a way? Do you have some experience on that?
No, Amazon attribution is separate, and I think also it's still in beta. So
very much so.
Amazon is probably working pretty strongly on that to improve the quality of the Amazon attribution. And it's like also giving advertisers money back if they advertise off Amazon and use Amazon attribution to make it a little bit more attractive to one side, get traffic like from off Amazon to the Amazon platform, but also to make Amazon attribution a little bit more attractive. So it's probably from the leadership team. We just push it through. So Amazon attribution is going to be on the list.
Yeah. So from our experience, it's not working very well. At least we don't feel. It's very difficult to know because it just doesn't show a lot of data. So we're just skeptical. But okay, let's close this thing on the attribution side. Now, you talked about something which I found very interesting on the DSP side, which is retargeting. Okay, DSP, obviously you're talking about audiences. So you could, or you have many types of audiences. You can decide, okay, it's an audience like young people with a dog and a kid and so on. So you can define a bit who you want to target. And one of the audiences you said when you're retargeting is the people who went to my page, didn't buy or bought, but a long time ago. And for me, this is... it's very low in the funnel, and basically DSP should be used higher up in the funnel. So sometimes I feel some brands are very return on ad spend, like ROAS focused, and therefore they say, oh wow, I'm super happy with the retargeting campaigns, whereas they're not really building their pipeline in a sense, and sort of milking a bit something which they could have been getting on the PPC campaigns. And I get, so as an agency, you always want to do some retargeting because you know the numbers will be really cool and everyone will be happy. But in a sense, you're not really investing in the future, if I could say so. What's your feeling on that?
Well, I agree. DSP is a great tool to tap into new audiences and to attract buyers who never got in touch with your brand before. But it depends on the budget from the seller, from the vendor you're serving, or from any other service, you like also a bank or a car company can use the Amazon DSP. From our perspective, it's easier to work like from the bottom of the funnel to the upper part of the funnel to grab like the low hanging fruits first. And then if you have set up like remarketing loyalty campaigns, the next one that we are doing is competitor targeting, which we are doing basically the same, but with competitor ASINs and their audiences. We do that with similar product on cross-targeting from the brand itself. And then the next one is stepping into segment targeting, where we target a category. And then the next step is to target just buyer personas, like you said, young male living in a city or whatsoever. You see that the ROAS is like declining from stage to stage, but then you have like to focus on different KPIs, for instance, on the click-through rate that you are generated, or on the edit to basket rate that are generated, and not directly on the ROAS. Or if you're running a campaign which is focused on the upper part of the funnel for like about a month, then have a look at the ROAS like the upcoming month, because that's the time it takes until the person is then also purchasing the product.
Talking about time frame, what kind of time frame, you know, can you expect to have efficiency or to see the impact? Is it like more 2 weeks or more 3 months?
Well, probably it's both. When you set up like loyalty campaigns and remarketing campaigns, that is a pretty straightforward process which can be almost automated. There's still no API available at the moment for you to create audiences and to create responsive e-commerce ads. So these are the both missing links at the moment to fully automate also the creation process. You can only optimize bits and batches at the moment. But this is a pretty straightforward process. So setup takes about 1-2 days. And then already after 2 weeks, you see the first results. But when talking about the upper part of the funnel and like a little more strategic approach, then you do much more research. You look at customer data that you already have, like who bought your product. Perhaps you have your own CRM where you know a little bit more about your customers. And then you also have like a little bit more strategic roadmap, and you do plan ahead, and then it takes like 2-3 months. And if you have custom banners or custom videos, then it just takes a little time to create all that assets and to run the campaigns.
Okay. And like a tool like Bidix, so it's very clear how the tools are helping for PPC, for search campaigns, because they're they are sort of automating or helping for the bidding. So BidX is probably, there's something here. And DSP, it's a bit different. So how does the tool help you with the campaigns? And how does it work? Like a brand today says, okay, I'm reaching 10,000. I'm using BidX or not. I'm saying, okay, I'd like to move into DSP. How does that work? How does BidX or a tool like yours help the brand?
So as you mentioned, BidX from the bid, and the X actually in our logo is like an arrow up and an arrow down. So it's for changing up and changing down, but it also can stand for expert or whatever. So basically the optimization is already done. So adjusting budgets and adjusting the bids. We can also do that for the DSP line items automatically. What we cannot do and what we do for search campaigns is like a one-click campaign creation. For you, if you are selling or trying to set up the campaign structure of auto campaign, product campaign, prod, phrase, exact, and sponsored display, sponsored print, and so on. And also, again, with the different match types, you can do that within BidX with a single click. But that is where the API limitations at the moment come into place, where we can automatically create like a DSP order, we can automatically create DSP line items, but we have to manually add the creatives and the audiences.
Okay, and so do you see on the tool, you can, so it's linked, the audiences show on the tool, like a bit like if you were on the console?
Well, it's pretty complicated to have the whole DSP settings and possibilities within BidX. So what we show is we show everything performance based, and you also have all the namings. Like for instance, we are targeting mobile devices of Amazon segment XY set and so on. So you got that description and the whole performance data, but we do not show like every detailed setting at the moment. Probably in the future we will do. But at the moment, it's a little bit too much. Yeah.
I think the main benefit is that you can like have an overview of the complete advertising you're doing, search and DSP together, and to have this total ACOS or total ROAS you have from the whole campaigns, right?
Yeah, and that is pretty important to have a look, like how much does my paid advertisement efforts influence my total sales? And if I divide like the cost that I have for search and that I have for display ads and divide that by the total sales that I'm generating, then I get like the margin that I actually am spending from my business revenues on advertisements. Because like when I only look at the paid ACOS or the paid ROAS and also for DSP, that's always like only one part of the story. But you have to look at the whole story to understand of how much of your margin are you giving away.
Okay, that makes sense. And if today, let's say I'm a brand and I'm on BidX and I'm doing my search advertising, if I want to like benefit of that like integrated solution, how does that work? Because then you can't like brands, it's very difficult for a brand to do its own like DSP. So do they have to link then with an agency which will be using BidX? How does that maybe for brands to understand what would be the steps?
So we are working with many agency partners together. We are also offering DSP as an agency ourselves at the moment, but as mentioned, as soon as the API capabilities are there, then we are also completely automating that part. And that probably will be throughout the next month. So Amazon is working tremendously on that. Two missing links. First, it will be available in North America and the US, but later on, it will also come to Europe. And then if you are not working with Amazon, so we cannot get the data from Amazon because they aren't allowing your partner there to access, by an API, but if you're working with an agency, then we can access all the data via the agency account, and we can import that into BidX, okay, and then visible for the customer directly to see.
Great. So I'd like to come back to the thing. You said there's two things missing on the system today. One was handling creatives, right? And the second one was...
generating the audiences.
Yeah, so okay. Building that should come in the new API. That's what you're saying.
Yeah, tremendously spending many hours to realize that, because they understand themselves. If they are making it easier for tech companies to automate that, then they can make it available for so many more sellers and vendors, and then they can increase their budgets and they earn a lot of money with advertisement.
Yeah, but, well, it's said that they will overcome AWS very soon in terms of profit. So does that mean that Amazon will start to open to a lot of brands, to many more brands than it is today? Or is it will it be through only like referred technology partners or agency partners?
I actually think it's the other way around. So the Amazon DSP, from our point of view, is not meant for smaller brands or also for sellers themselves, but rather like with Amazon Managed Service or with the agency partner that is managing, because DSP is getting quite complicated and it's getting even more complicated over time. So we do not think that they are making it easier to get into the DSP, but rather difficult, more difficult. And by making it more difficult, they are just raising the amount you have to spend to use the DSP. Like the 10K was for Europe. In America, I think it's $30,000 per month, at least. And they're raising this. So probably in the future, you have like 20,000-30,000 euros per month that you have to spend at least in Europe, and probably 50,000-100,000 at least in the US. And they are focusing rather on the PPC solutions that they offer directly in the advertising console, and also like sponsored display ads, because it's like becoming a mini DSP kind of, where they're now also allowing customers, because like with the whole search part, they have like it's baby safe kind of like the products we sold formerly. You can't do really something wrong, and if you did the setup wrong, you won't spend 50,000 tomorrow. So it's locked, it's safe, and the DSP is not, and it also will not become properly, because Amazon assumes that you are an expert when you're using it, and then you can have that much power and control.
Okay, that makes sense. So now we'll open to questions from everyone. So if you have any questions, please write them down in the question box. I have already one question exactly on what you were talking about. There is on the search side, on sponsored products, there's like sponsored display, which, you know, is already display in search, and then you have display in DSP. So why would you use, you know, in both? What would be the reasoning of using both? Like if you're doing DSP, should you stop sponsored display, or what's your recommendation on that front?
So from our side, you should use both, but you should limit the usage of sponsored display ads to protect your product detail pages on Amazon itself. You have, for instance, the place below the buy box. Some of the spots that you get on Amazon are then sponsored display exclusive, where you cannot get with any other ad format. Amazon sponsored display ads is also a great way to use if you have not reached yet so much budget per month that it is worth for you to start with the Amazon DSP. But within the reporting, you do not really have reporting for on Amazon, off Amazon, for mobile, desktop. You do not really can precisely control the audiences that you are targeting and so on. Sponsored display ads are getting better, but from our perspective, DSP still has so much more possibilities that you rather should invest in the DSP. If you have the budget, rather invest the budget into the DSP, because you get much more efficiency out of it compared to sponsored display ads.
And how do, like, in which way do you get more efficiency? Is that because it's more expensive in a sense, right? So
well, It's not more expensive, but like, first of all, sponsored display ad also started with a CPC model, with a cost per click model, which actually for display advertising doesn't really make a lot of sense because it's basically an impression-based system. And also when Amazon is charging a customer a CPC price, Amazon has to pay cost per mil price, a 1,000 impression contact price, to the publisher where the ad is shown. So already there you have like an exchange where Amazon probably you will take some money. And furthermore, you do not have many individualization for the creative part. You cannot really turn on or turn off some parts which work better or which do not work that well. And so the amount of control that you have with DSP is just so much better. And then you can just turn off everything that does not work and just let run what works very well.
One question on the sponsored display side is like, do they run also outside of Amazon or only on Amazon? So this, and do you control the amount which is going outside and you don't?
No.
So it's based on the amount of what Amazon is buying outside of Amazon, and you get a share of that based on probably the metrics you've put in terms of audience, like or type of products or competitors or something like that.
Yeah. And if you're using the DSP, then you really have precise control. For instance, if you're selling a product that is a little bit higher priced, then probably rather people are having an Apple iPhone than a cheaper Android, assuming at least, then you can exclusively target, for instance, iOS users within household income of more than, I don't know, in Luxembourg, it must be more than 150K, then otherwise you are just average. But for instance, these are so many settings that you don't have with the sponsored display ads.
Okay. And one thing which is always interesting when we work with sometimes with brands, and especially when we look at the Facebook or the Google advertising side, is some, like most of the time when you make a search on Google for a product, the first one who comes is Amazon, either in organic or either in paid. This paid side is very difficult to know where it's coming from, right? Because it could be Amazon itself. It could be a sponsored is there a way to know a bit if it's from your money or is it from Amazon? Is it?
Well, there Amazon is paying for it. So you're not paying for the Google ads that are served on Google by Amazon. That is like, you pay already a lot to Amazon, and that is just a small way of giving back, kind of, I think. But it's also just to increase visibility, market share, and to have the people who are still looking for products on Google then linking to the Amazon platform and the Amazon marketplace.
Okay. I have another question here about you talked about the different steps, like a bit a strategy to go on DSP. Could you come back on those different steps about, you know, where you, so you started with remarketing, right? And what are the next one? Then loyalty, if I remember well. What are the next ones?
The next one, what mostly works well, is to have upselling and cross-selling. So if you have similar products from your own brand, or also perhaps you have two brands that are similar, you can tap into that inventory from each other. The next step that we are doing is the competitor targeting. So we look at similar products and perhaps which are a little bit more expensive or which have
less, like, well, reviews,
less reviews, or where the reviews are not as good as yours. So basically what you're also doing with your search ads, when you target specific products, you can learn a lot from what works for search, probably all the ASINs that work well, where you convert very well. These can be like the basis for the audience that you are building. People who viewed that product but did not buy any product in that category that you are in, and then show them that ad. And then after that, it's segment targeting with a category, and then you can go upper funnel for in-market and lifestyle audiences. But then you have like a pretty big reach, and it's really difficult to precisely control where your ads then are shown. So you have to know that it's worth it.
Yes. And one thing Amazon is sometimes talking about, it's to like DSP can help you define who your customer is, taking these audiences, like, you know, you test men with a car and a dog, and then you see which one are selling or buying most, and then that defines your customer. Do you see a lot of brands really doing that, or really testing out and sort of looping back this information, saying, okay, I found out that actually it's, you know, men or this criteria specifically, and then changing the content, for example, or addressing better their audience?
No. I think that is like a really big challenge to loop that back. I think great brands on Amazon are doing that, and then are also adjusting images, description, and so on based on the information. And that's actually the only way you can get these information. For search ads on Amazon, it's the only way you see how much impression you get per keyword. You do not get that organically. And for the Amazon DSP, you can generate so-called overlap reports. And with these overlap reports, you can look from, for instance, from your remarketing campaigns or generally from people who bought your products in the past, how much overlap do they have with certain segments? And that again will tell you how to change your listing on the one side, but also like which segments then to target in the next step.
Okay, makes sense. One question I like to ask sometimes is like, do you have an example of what, you know, a DSP campaign which was successful, or a DSP strategy, and one which was less successful, and a bit the learnings of both? That's a difficult question.
Yeah, so what worked pretty well was Black Friday push last autumn, just before Christmas. We had a couple of companies who had like specifically for Black Friday custom banners. Then they had like the special offers for Black Friday for the whole week. And that worked really, really well. And that is also where it absolutely makes sense. And we lowered overall, we lowered like the total cost, and we increased total ROAS over there. Even we spent a lot more money. What did not work very well was we worked with a big brand in the fashion. Like fashion generally is very difficult.
Because SKUs.
Yeah, you get like thousands of SKUs, and so the whole setup just takes more time. And then also Amazon is requiring certain amounts of reviews, certain amounts of impressions to build these audiences. And even if you are a big brand, but you are not as popular as you are generally on the Amazon marketplace, because you are not focusing on the Amazon marketplace at the moment, then mostly inventory is not so good. So products are not really advertising ready. So you should invest rather in optimizing your listings, product detail pages, etc. And on the other side, it's difficult for agencies then to really build on the DSP, because you really have to group different products together to even build one audiences, for instance, as a remarketing campaigns. But for instance, then you get not only socks, but you also have like socks and some underwear together to have that audiences. Then, okay, it works okay-ish, but it would work much better if it's like one product with a lot of purchases each month, where you have enough data, and then where you also can optimize, because you need to have at least some data to make decisions based on the data. And if they are coming in only slowly, then the whole optimization process also just will take longer. And if you have a much starter, then you can already decide after a couple of days what works and what does not.
So your recommendation, if it's a brand with a lot of SKUs, or a seller with a lot of SKUs on that brand, obviously, is to generate enough data. So probably you focus on PPC really to get some bestsellers to build something with DSP, right? Because if it's split too much, then it's very difficult to generate results on the DSP side.
Okay. From our perspective, it makes sense if the product is sold more than 10 times a day, then you can build up on that with DSP campaigns. if it's less than 10 times per day, it's probably difficult and you have to group it.
Okay. I'd like to come back to the example you said where it worked very well. So sometimes I'm wondering if some people said, wow, yeah, we sold much more, but they did promotion, they spent more in advertising. Altogether, did they, you know, did they their profit go down? Because yes. Presumably, yes.
Yes, profit goes down mostly, but the ROAS stays the same. So you have a decreased sales price if you are selling normally your product for 25 euros and then now you're deducting 20% and you're only selling it for 20 euros anymore. This will, of course, reduce your ROAS, but mostly, especially during Black Friday and the whole week, conversion rates are much better. Then, and also like average basket, if I see that the product now has a discount, then perhaps I just buy two of it. Or also what we see is that products that are a little bit more expensive, like product that costs 50, 80 euros or much more, they get bought much often on these times, because then they know, okay, if the product normally is like 200 euros and now I get it for 150, then it's like really worth it for me. But basically what we see is that brands are not generating profits with these marketing campaigns and pushes, but they tap into new audiences and they have like a reach that is five times bigger than the normal reach.
Okay, and so it's an investment in branding, yeah, in a sense, and like in the future
without losing money.
Okay,
so yeah, it's still like at the break even level. It's
yeah,
a break
the thing
level,
is that people, yeah, they like the you have the, you know, the devil and the little angel. The devil would probably say, yeah, but you probably could have sold that product at a much higher price at another moment if you had not discounted it.
Yeah, probably, but from our perspective, it's like kind of the flywheel, like Amazon is talking about itself. As a company, from our perspective, it's if you invest in your listings on Amazon, in your sales on Amazon, you're selling more, you get more reviews, you can buy more from your suppliers, you can lower prices, then these prices can also be lowered on Amazon, which again allows you to increase more sales, reviews, and so on. So this is like upwards trend that you have. Why, if you don't invest in that, then probably it's a trend the other way around. You purchase less from your supplier, then the price increase. You have to increase the price on Amazon, then you will get even less purchases per month.
Or so, somebody else could take your space.
Or somebody else, yeah, exactly.
So it's a risk. It's a risk calculation, but it's true that for the brands, I think the real the key is a conversion rate, right? Because if the conversion rate makes sense, then you're sort of going up. If the conversion rate goes down, that's where you're in trouble, because your investment is probably not yielding the results you wanted, right? So I think that's really interesting. And if in the total of what you're seeing or handling, how much of the budget you're handling is on not the amount but percentage wise is on search, and how much is on DSP, and let's say what has been the increase? Do you see a lot more brands getting into DSP today?
So it's 2%. Okay. 2% of the amount that is managed by the tool, compared to what's managed with DSP. But that's also due to the fact that we have many advertisers in our systems that did not hit that target to now invest into the DSP. And generally, DSP still is a quite manual and a quite expensive process. So it depends on with Amazon, you pay, for instance, 15% on the media budget as management fee. Whereas, for instance, for the PPC management, we only charge 4%. That is like a third. So management at the moment is pretty manual. So it's also expensive. And that locks it at the moment. But what we see is that we grew over 800% with the DSP year over year. And that will probably continue.
Yeah. And I think probably let's we'll probably end on that part. Like if you take your crystal ball and you know what, like a lot of people, and you look on LinkedIn or like a lot of e-marketers talking about always the growing side of DSP, like DSP in general is growing very much. What do you see? How do you see that growing on the Amazon side? Because a lot of people say that they are very far away from Google in terms of technology, of understanding of the algorithm, simply. What do you think are the things which will be coming soon? So you said already the APA side will come in the coming weeks. What do you see next coming?
Well, I think they are for sure not a first mover here, but that also gives them the possibility to learn from all the mistakes that others have done in that area. And Amazon is pretty quick in developing their advertising services. They hire more than 5,000 engineers to build advertising. The problem with Amazon and advertising on Amazon, it's a little bit like New York, Manhattan. The space is limited. And now we already have like probably 10, 20 advertisement spots on the Amazon website itself when you're looking for a product. But it's somehow limited. They can't really increase that so much more until it's getting annoying and the whole page is based on ads. So to grow that, Amazon has to expand. And that is where the DSP is coming in. And that is where all the exclusive Amazon first party data is coming in, and where Amazon is able to provide much higher efficiency and accuracy and attribution. Also, now we are talking about the display ads and perhaps some videos, but from our perspective, the next big things is voice, so Amazon Echo devices, Alexa devices, and is over the top OTP, which means connected devices. So if you have like a Fire TV stick today, you can already see DSP advertisements over there. And soon we will have TV series where you can press a button and then you see all the products that are currently shown in the movie and you can buy them directly on Amazon. And I think that is like targeting off Amazon and then tapping into voice and over the top. Yeah. That is probably most interesting.
Yeah, that's like the day you will watch a movie and say, Alexa, please buy the watch from the character. That's probably where, yeah. And
also then the advertisers know how much, if they spend, for instance, then a certain amount for sponsoring that watch in that movie, they afterwards know how much money they got out of it. Like, otherwise, it's really difficult for them. It's like display advertisement, like in the classic old media world. Yeah, it's really difficult to measure. But having exactly the second a people is deciding, for instance, if the watch is shown like seven times and like it takes five times the average buyer to see the watch, then you know, okay, it's worth it, and the next time we can probably increase it, or we see it's not worth it, we have to decrease
then
it.
We need to see how the guys creating content for Amazon TV will have to put the which product for how many times. That will probably be an interesting future. So anyway, Max, really nice to have you. To start the year with you is a nice gift for us. I think it was really interesting on the DSP side. Thank you very much, everyone. And we'll meet again very soon. Thank you and bye-bye.
Thank you very much. It was a pleasure. Bye-bye.
See you soon. Bye-bye.